Hey guys, I just had an amazing conversation with Lisa Drennan. Now, if you are someone who is an entrepreneur, a leader, someone who is trying to understand how to like save money, create money, multiply your money, budget, like all that kind of stuff, this is the episode for you because she drops so many like amazing things on this episode. It'll encourage you to look at your finances and to say, okay, I am not where I need to be. I do not want to keep doing this in my 80s and 90s. I want to at least be able to look at what I have and see how I can save, retire, you know, maybe move around and see what I can do. You really need to listen to this episode. I think you're going to enjoy this and you're going to really enjoy Lisa and her energy. And she comes up like a boss, okay, y'all? Like a boss. And I want to make sure that you guys enjoy this. So I'm going to shut up so you can go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for hanging out with us and liking, sharing, subscribing, all that great stuff. You see the buttons down there, whatever you got to do, do what you got to do, okay? But I am super stoked to be here today, and I love speaking to amazing humans, and this one is no exception. I am honored to introduce you today to our guest, Lisa Drennan. Now, Lisa is an author, a wealth activator, an aromatherapy practitioner, and she's on a mission to help 1 million women become millionaires. Okay. Okay, y'all. She's without sacrificing any of their self-sovereignty. So for over 30 years, Lisa's life was, dominated by fear and anxiety and unhealthy coping mechanisms. But in a powerful moment of surrender, she began a journey of healing that led to a profound clarity and forgiveness and gratitude. And you guys know we love talking about that stuff. And she's here today to share her inspiring story and her unique approach to helping others transform their relationship with money through her money multiplier system and her hashtag I Date Money movement. You guys, you hear this? All right, you dating money now, y'all. Okay, so let's dive into this with Lisa. I am so glad you're here, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm just wonderful. It's all peaches and creams today. Today's a great day.
That's good. I like peaches and cream. Yeah. I love that. You know, Lisa, I love what you're about and I love what you're doing in the world. And so to start off, I want everyone who's listening to get to know you. So my first question off the bat is always, who are you? So Lisa, who are you? Who are you, Lisa?
Well, I'm just a girl. I grew up in a very strange family in upstate New York, and I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And I had three older brothers. Two of them passed away, unfortunately. But I grew up with demands in an Italian Catholic family where I catered to everybody. I was a big people pleaser, raised to be a people pleaser, and everyone tried to control me. So I was always like going against the odds. I was a black sheep. Like asking why. It used to drive my mother crazy. Like, why? And, as I was growing up, I had, my parents got divorced when I was 3 years old. And, we went from being wealthy to being poor and then had to build it back up because both my parents were entrepreneurs. And so when they split, their business split because they were, my mom was a cosmetologist. My dad was a barber and had a construction business. So then my mom was left with starting from scratch. And she did. She did a fantastic job building up business. And, learned a lot from her, but we butted heads, man, boy, oh boy. And because she was a divorced mom, she hung out a lot at what they call parents without partners and left my older brothers in charge of me who were teenagers. And I was only five. So I got to party a lot when I was 5 years old.
I was going to say, boy, the things you saw.
Yeah, too much. I mean, and I remember telling my mom some of this stuff and she's like, no, you just know. And, she didn't really believe me. So I didn't trust people. I grew up not trusting people because, what I saw and what I shared, it wasn't well received. And I saw like my dad be an entrepreneur and take advantage of people. And it really made me mad. But I never really focused on my mom. And my grandparents were entrepreneurs as well, my mom's parents. But I never really focused on them and the good that they were doing. I just kept, honing in. I guess as humans, we hone in on that ugliness that like, I'm never going to be an entrepreneur and I'm never, sales is sleazy and this and that. So So I got a government job, and I worked there for 30 wonderful years at the Social Security Administration, retired 2.5 years early as a self-made millionaire.
So, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
The self-made millionaire, did that come from working at that job for 30 years, or did that come from building what you were doing alongside it?
It came from working. It was a combination. It was came from working at that job and strategically placing my money so that it would grow, so it would multiply and have babies. And as I was working full time, I never felt that there was enough. So I always had a side gig. So at one point, I had 3 side gigs. Wow. And one of my side gigs is actually trip. I was a treasurer for 3 not for profit organizations. At one time, I was doing all 3 at once, and then it gradually just kind of went out to one. And when I became a treasurer for just the one, I ended up picking up a side gig doing affiliate marketing. That was the first thing I did online back in 2019. And from there, I kind of evolved and got into coaching and became the aromatherapy practitioner and kept switching my niche and changing who I was serving and what I wanted to do. I started a not-for-profit ministry for post-abortion women. And I decided like, oh, I can retire early. I don't have to work until I'm old and cranked over on a cane. And
you know what I love though? You know what I love is that, you know, that is something that I really always enjoyed myself was having that solid corporate position that I had, the job that I had, which I loved and thrived in and grew in, and it was amazing. And I had my side stuff going on as well. And, you know, people are always like, oh no, you got to be 100% entrepreneur, but I loved both. And I never wanted to leave the one for the other. Like I always loved both. Now I'm 100% full-time entrepreneur, but back then I loved having that. I loved having that, not that for some reason it gave me like a steadiness, right? Like I knew the hours I had to work. It was like a steady thing. It just gave me like clarity for some reason. And sometimes as an entrepreneur, right, you can get lost in the sauce because you're controlling your own hours, controlling your own thing, you know, all that. And you can get kind of sidetracked with that. So I love that though. And so tell me where the, you know, where the investing and all that came into, like what made you think about utilizing the money that you were getting from your job, right? Which I always tell my women who join my coaching program, I'm like, don't quit your day job. You know what I'm saying? Reinvest it. Use it as, I say, use it as a loan you don't have to pay back. You know what I mean? Because you already worked for it, so you're getting paid.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about your journey there.
Yeah, and it's so important to, you know, have, it's a good feeling to have that steady income coming in. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there listening that probably have a 9-to-5 and they want a side gig, they want to transition into entrepreneur. And you see all these posts on social media and, you know, wherever that, oh, I made $10,000 in one day. I, you know, just do this, implement this simple little digital product. You know, and it's not that easy, you guys.
It's not that easy.
It takes sweat, gut, and tears. And, you know, you really have to have the results. I was talking to someone in the DMs and they're like, oh, you know, do you know how to overcome imposter syndrome? I'm like, yeah, I mean, we all experience it. And like, I'm always working on overcoming it. And I said, well, how did you get the results? You know, what tool did you use to get the results? She goes, well, I haven't overcome it yet. But you're trying to sell it? Like, no, you can't sell something you don't have the results in. And I think that's where the alignment comes in, because it doesn't, you know, in the 30 years I've been in finance and insurance, I've looked at so many different financial portfolios, and it doesn't matter how much money people have, how little money people have, they all have the same fear. Will there be enough?
Yeah.
You know, and as we get older and we go into our retirement, we think, okay, so many people retire thinking, oh, I got it. I can retire at 62. And then 62 comes and they're looking at their portfolio. They're like, I got to work. You know, and they had this big, huge, you know, in the 90s, they had this transition about health insurance. And all of a sudden people were like, man, I'm not going to have health insurance in retirement. I still have to work for health insurance. So I used to sit across a desk from, you know, thousands of people who were like, well, I'm working beyond 65 because of health insurance for my family. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't ever want to work because I have to. I want to work because I love to.
Right.
And so at a very young age, like in 1990, I had a client come in and said, hey, did you ever read the book The Richest Man in Babylon? I'm like, no. He goes, do you like to read? I go, I love to read. He goes, well, read it. If I would have read it at your age, I would be a multimillionaire. I go, well, I'm on track to be a multimillionaire. I said, okay, let me do it. So what I did is, like, I started working at my career job in 1991. Prior to that, I was a single mom, and I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was destitute. I was trying to make ends meet, having a growing child, like trying to feed and clothe them, creating ways to create money. And like I said, I picked up a side gig, and the part-time job that I had had, the employer actually stole from me. And I was just like, oh, great. So, fast forward, I'm trying to, figure out, my kid needed clothes. And I'm like, I was too prideful to go shop at the thrift store. I wanted him to have brand new clothes. I wanted him to have the best of everything. And so my friend told me about JCPenney store credit. It's like, oh, okay. So I got hooked on credit, and I ended up racking up all this debt. And with a someone had forged my name on a loan, and then I agreed to allow somebody to take a loan out for somebody and give them the money with a promise that they were going to pay me back in 30 days, and they didn't. So here I am, 22 years old, facing $32,000 worth of debt back in the 90s. And I was a bankruptcy paralegal creating budgets for people. And I was like, okay, I know how to get out of this, but it's impossible. I don't even have this money from this one loan. I didn't even get the money, right? I got $500, this huge loan. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to file for bankruptcy. What's the worst that can happen, right? I didn't want to buy a house, or I already had a car. I didn't care. And so I did. And I stood in front of the judge, and he's like, you are way too young to be standing here. I said, well, I'm a single mom, and this is what happened. He goes, you make a promise to me that you will never be in this situation, that you will learn everything you can about finances, and you'll turn around and help other people. I'm like, okay, sure. And I did. And that's what I did. I just made it a quest. And as people, started coming into Social Security Administration, I was looking at like their tax returns, that are their business returns, their corporate, and they were commingling funds. And I'm like, stop it already. Like, why are you doing this? You cannot do this. One, it's against the tax rules. And two, how do you know how much money your business is making? So like, I would sort it all out for them and create their like budgets and say, okay, this is how you're gonna do it. Go open up this bank account, da da da, this is how we're gonna manage your money. And I would talk to them about, and it had nothing to do with the job that I was doing. I had the information, I was learning it, I was reading books, I was, back then you would watch like a movie, like a VHS tape, and didn't have the internet, right? And but not in the capacity they do now. And so anyways, fast forward, the more I did it, the more I learned, the more I implemented it for myself initially as well. And I would hate it. Like, all employers, I would say 95% of employers offer a 401k with a matching. Well, you're a fool if you don't take that matching.
Right, you
And
got a
I hear
match,
this. So my coach, so what I was doing, like, there's an IRS limit. My goal was to work up to that limit. So as I was moving up in my career, every time I got a raise, my raise went into that 401k, and I was above and beyond the matching. And I would talk to my coworkers and be like, are you doing this? And they're like, no. I go, you work with people and they're planning their benefits, and you don't do this yourself? Do you want to work until you're 70? Like, what are you doing? But the fear was, oh, I can't put that much money aside. I have daycare. I have a car payment. I have student loans. No. And I had a friend, a very good friend who I worked with, who had a side job as a tax preparer. So she filed, she did income tax returns. And she's like, it doesn't even make a difference, you guys. Like, literally. And I actually tested it. Like, I stopped my 401k contribution to see how it would affect my taxes. You know, I got $30 back in my paycheck, because it puts you in a higher bracket. I was just like, well, wait a minute now. No way. Why would I even do that? So I'm like, okay, I believe you now. I believe you, Margaret. So from that point on, like, I was probably like, maybe 27, 28 years old, I was like, I'm maxing it out. And then when the Roth IRAs came out in 1998, I was just like, oh yeah. And it got to be a game. So it was like fun, because it's like, how much money can I put away and not even miss it? And how is this going to help me in my later years? Like, maybe I don't want to work until I'm 62. Maybe there's a different plan. But because I had it, I had this money idiom in my head that money burns a hole in my pocket. And my grandmother had taught me the envelope system. So I was using these manual envelopes, right? Writing down, like, I would budget, projecting my income, like, okay, I'm going to get paid $5,000 next month. This is how it's going to get spent. 10% is going to go into savings, 10% is going to be my tithe. And then, the 80% I'm going to live on. Okay. And I got this, da, 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 da. You get your household, your four walls. And then I was it. I was like, oh, well, my money's accounted for. And I felt like I was like, I had nothing left. And that every time I wanted to go out, like to eat, or, to go to a movie, it's like, oh man, okay, what money envelope does this come out of? And like, oh, there really isn't enough to do that. And I felt deprived. But I kept doing it. I still kept like, nope, my goal is retirement investments. I want to multiply my money. I want to become a millionaire. So then I set it up on auto pay. I opened up a bank account. I was always talking to financial advisors, and I was like, okay, how can I optimize this earning interest, right? So we set up all these different bank accounts, and I had my money auto drawn from my paycheck, and then I'd get my net paycheck and it said I'd have $200. Well, I didn't know that, at the time, I didn't know that $200 was just mind to blow. I was regretting it. I was just like, man, all this money and all I got is $200, because everything else was taken care of, right? So I didn't pay attention. Money and I were like, yeah, no, I'm doing my work over here. You give me a job, leave me alone. Let me be my own boss. Don't micromanage me, right? So I'm sitting here ticked off that I'm only getting 200 bucks. And like, what am I going to do with that? Like, I was actually, arguing about it. And my husband would be like, what do you mean? He goes, you can go shopping, go do something. So I ended up like splurging on my kids and everything. But when it came down to it, I got so mad. At 40 years old, I hit a midlife crisis and I went on strike and I said, I'm done. And all of a sudden, my oldest was around, I can't remember how old he was, but he got a credit card offer in the mail. And I remember opening up the mail and walking, I was smoking a cigarette, and I walked down the side of the garage and I was just like, why is he getting a credit card offer? He's too young for credit. What is this? What is this crap? And it was a 0% credit card offer from Discover. And I'm like, oh man, 0%. What could I do with that? It'd be so cool to borrow money and leverage it. Well, that's when this addiction happened, right? So I got the offer, and under my own name, of course. I mean, because there are people out there who steal from their kids. That's another
Oh,
sob
I know.
story.
That's I know people.
Yeah, it's horrible. But so I got the offer, I put my own name in, got the money, and I was just like, I went on vacation, started doing education, started playing with it, and then more offers came in. And I was just like, man, this is so awesome. And I had the 0% credit card, and I was keeping it under a lower like balance. I remember sitting at this financial seminar, and we were talking about credit, and they're like, oh no, you got to treat credit like cash, pay it off, the balance off every single month. I says, well, what about 0% credit? He's like, well, he goes, you want to strategically do that. He goes, but you still want to pay it off because eventually it won't be 0%. I go, right. I go, but is it wise to use that as leverage, or is it going to, what's the benefits? What are the, pros and cons of it? And he said, I can't see any cons of using a 0% credit card as long as you pay it back before the interest accrues. So I had that stuck in my head, never, ever, ever pay interest. And so I kept playing. So as soon as that, instead of strategically managing that 0%, I just would keep transferring it because it was better to pay a 3%, 5% transfer fee than it was to pay 29% on the interest. And so I kept playing this game with myself and ignored all the rest of the money because that stuff was on autopilot. So one day I was just like, I can't play this game anymore. I mean, I was getting migraines. I was getting things. I'm teaching people. I was a financial coach at the time, and I'm teaching people how to manage their money, how to multiply it, how to save it, how to optimize their savings just by opening up CD stackers, or make sure you do a Roth IRA. If you're out there listening, especially like if you're in your 20s, as soon as you are eligible, you contribute to a Roth IRA. And of course, this is for the United States, but I'm telling you, that's the best way. If you can't save any money, if you've got the story that you're telling yourself, oh, I can't afford to save money, yes, you can, because it's like $300 a month, right? Or every 2 weeks. I don't know. It's a small amount
I think it's like
compared to,
600, right? A month,
yeah,
isn't it?
600 a month. I was doing 250 a pay period back in the day. So maybe it's $600 a month, okay? You spend $100 at least once a month to go out for dinner, because you can find this $600, because it's going to be like your gold. It's going to be like your, like the pot of gold that y'all want. It's going to be like the pot of gold, your Roth IRA, and start as soon as you can and max that out, that contribution. And then when you're 50, you do catch up. So I was telling all people this, and then I was like getting this imposter syndrome type thing, because it's like, I don't even freaking know what my money is doing. And every day my husband would date money. He would sit down, pull up the stats, go into the stock market and write down. He's like, give me your numbers. Like once a week, he'd ask for my numbers. I'm like, oh, what do you want my numbers for? It doesn't matter. It's like 30 years before retirement. Who cares? He goes, because you want to stay on top of it, and then we got to strategically move it. So every week I'd be all ticked off, like a little kid having a temper tantrum, and we'd go move the, you know, we'd look at the money, and then twice a year we would go through and we would study the markets and we would allocate the funds, and I would make moves. And every time I made a move, I mean, my ROI was like 12 to
Oh,
15%.
that's really good.
And it was amazing, especially for a 401k, right? And a Roth IRA. So then we dabbled in like real estate investments and, you know, other businesses. Like, you know, maybe you want to do like trucking business, or we want to like support a small business in their growth. And we started looking at like diversifying the funds and things of that nature. But then we really just sat down and looked at our goal, and it's just like, I just want to be safe. I'm very conservative, and I want to be a millionaire. I want to I've never, nobody in my family has ever been a millionaire. And no, I've never received an inheritance, so all the money I have is mine. And he's like, okay, he goes, we'll be millionaires. And we just set it up, and he studied it every day. I did it once a week, and just together we built this beautiful portfolio that just sings.
You know,
And
that's
even now.
really beautiful, right? Because that's not something that normal people do. Like, you know, regular people don't do that. I know I never do, I never knew that, right? My way of being was always survival mode, always survival. Because I had my kid at 15 years old, and I had to work, you know, two jobs and go to school to take care of my kid. And college was out of the picture because I had to take care of my kid. And then I had another one at 21 years old. So I have two boys, right? And I got into a marriage that was a horrible marriage. He ruined my entire credit, stole all the money from the bank, but like the whole thing, right? And so my relationship with money was not good, right? It was like, they're going to take it from you. You're never going to have money. It's always going to be taken, right? Like that's how it always felt. Because since I was a kid, I mean, even like my father was really never in my life, but when he would come by, he would give me like these $2 bills. Always with the $2 bills, because he was a truck driver. So he would collect them from around the country, and he would bring them to me, and he would give me these $2 bills, which was, I guess, great. I didn't really know the man very much, but that was awesome. Anyway, since I was a kid, I remember I had a huge pot of like money. Remember those old piggy banks? They were like ceramic, those big
Yeah,
ceramic
we
piggy
have
banks.
one still.
Yeah, well, it was stuffed with all the $2 bills and change and coins and 50 cents and dollar coins and all this stuff. And my family took it from me. Like they stole it, right? So
Oh.
my mom, I think they had to move, and maybe they didn't have it at money, I'm not sure, but the piggy bank was gone. And ever since then, I was like maybe 6 or 7 years old, but I remember feeling like it was stolen from me. Like I felt so hurt over that. And for years, that was my relationship with money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just going to be taken anyway. It's not important, like that kind of stuff. And so I never grew up, or nor were, and you know this, Lisa, we are not taught in school about finances. We're just not, right? So we are very poorly educated when it comes to this kind of stuff. And it wasn't until like a now, like I'm 50, that I'm just like, okay, we're going to do this because we need to do that and blah, blah, blah. And let's look into what IULs look like or annuities or whatever. Let's look into this kind of stuff, right? But before that, that wasn't a thing. It was just survive, 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 right? So the that you're working with now, right? Because now you've shifted all of this beautifulness that you've done with your life and your husband, and you've grown this beautiful portfolio, and you're doing what you do, right? But what do you say to women who are listening to the show who are maybe in my camp, right? Maybe in that camp of surviving right now, especially with like inflation and all this stuff going on, and people paying higher bills and higher rent and higher mortgage. I mean, it is what it is. That's what we're living, right? And most of us were not prepared. In 2008, me and my husband were just about to purchase this home. The market crashed. We lost everything. We lost everything, right? My husband lost all his contracts for his contracting jobs. Everything went to shit. We went homeless, right? So we were homeless for like a year and change. And we lost the house, we lost the cars, we lost the business, like everything. And that was a hard time. It hit our family extremely hard. I am sure, Lisa, that people right now are feeling that. You know what I'm saying? Like I've been speaking to people who are literally at the verge of losing their homes, their cars, they can't keep up, they're working two, three jobs. You know what I mean? So take me like to that place. Like this, like somebody's listening right now, and I know because I have over 100,000 downloads, so people listen. What do you say to somebody like that? Or what is something you can inspire them with that like, you know, you can get through this, right? And maybe this is step one. Like, what would you say to that person? Or let's just act like we're talking to a client. What would that be?
It's the same for everyone, regardless of where you're at. I mean, the economy is always going to have its ups and downs. There's always going to be inflation. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be like the craziness with the politics and the things of that nature, regardless of what currency you have. What you do with your money is so important. And the biggest thing that I see, the biggest mistake that I see every single household make is that they don't pay attention to their money. And if you don't pay attention, you have no clue what your money's doing.
Right.
And we all can live within our means. And when you know exactly how much money you have coming in, you live within those means, and it doesn't have to be restrictive. But yeah, we all want the, you know, the big fancy houses, the big fancy cars, and not everybody wants that. But there's a definition of rich, and there's a definition of being wealthy. And being wealthy is having that peace, that calm, that serenity that comes with knowing that you're safe and secure in your finances. You know, when I was a single mom, I was making $14,000 a year, which is equivalent to today's minimum wage, right? I mean, I got paid $5 an hour for my first full-time job as a single mom. And, you know, a third of that was going to daycare. And it was just like, you know, and there was a program. I mean, I was on Medicaid, I was on, you know, partial welfare, and it was embarrassing, but I'm so glad it was there. And I mean, I actually have clients who are disabled who have to go on Medicaid, and they're like, no, I don't want to be on Medicaid. I have some self-employed clients that are like, they qualify for Medicaid. I'm an independent insurance broker. And I'm like, but if you qualify for it, go with it, because you can save this money and use it to build up, you know, your wealth, so that you can do so. Whatever, what's your dream?
I love that. I love that, Lisa. Yeah.
What's your dream three months from now, 6 months? I mean, you're not always going to be in a financial bind. But what happens is we get so angry with not having enough money, or believing that we don't have enough money, that we just blow our money.
Yeah.
So my best advice to anybody is freaking track your money. Okay. I hate to say the word budget because it sounds so restrictive, and every time I'm getting better with it, but every time I say the word budget, it just makes my ears like, because I immediately think of, I have a client, Sue, who, I'm not doing a budget because my ex-husband told me I had to track every single dollar. And it's, you know, when you're told to do something versus when you choose to do something, it's a completely different energy. But if you create, like in my Wealth Accelerator program, we create a customized wealth activation roadmap. And we look at our goals and we set up money buckets. How do we want our money to work for us? And it's so simple to save money, you guys. It's so simple. All you literally need to do with every single dollar that you receive, okay, is put away 10% in a high yield online savings account. I recommend Discover or Lending Club. If you continuously do that, you will have a nest egg built up. And your first goal is to build up 6 months worth of emergency money. The emergency fund is money you use for emergencies, and it's your four walls, your basic needs. What can you not live without if you couldn't work, if you had a crisis like 2008, so that you're covered? You know, and when we think about our household expenses, like my mom, you know, she lost everything, right? When my parents got divorced, her whole goal, it wasn't focused on building up her business. It was focused on getting a house for us, because we were living on the streets. And she's like, you know, and what that means is we were staying with friends and relatives until she could find an apartment that would accept four kids.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, her whole goal was, I'm going to buy a house. And within 3 years, she had bought a house as a single mom in the 70s with a self-employment, which is unheard of. Okay. That's a power of prayer, and that's a power of an Italian woman being freaking diligent, right?
Yeah.
And so she taught me that don't matter what, don't matter how much, you know, because in her industry, cosmetology, there's a hairdresser, it's feast or famine, right? You know, you had your time, you had times where there was like no customers, right? Because, you know, it wasn't the holidays or what have you. And then, you know, so she would say, like, she always had money for her mortgage. She always had money for the gas and electric, and she always had food money and gas money. Everything else, she'd say, screw it, I don't care. And she always had this mentality, I got to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. So, you know, she was a wonderful, I have a money archetype quiz, and my mom is Grant the Giver. She's most like him. She gave away so much money. And the only thing, like I said, she should have been more like Sam the Saver, because when it came to saving, my mom wasn't really good at it because she would save money and then an emergency would happen. And then she would use all this money, but she was actually giving it away to the kids and all this and that. So it's really important to have a balance. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, it's just like losing weight or building muscle, right? You're not going to lose weight and continue eating a bag of Oreos, right? It's not going to happen. You're never going to reach your goal. It's the same thing with money. You're always going to feel like you're poor if you continuously spend your money without knowing how you're spending your money.
Yeah.
So creating that plan and setting aside 10% minimum, you know, like I said earlier, do the Roth IRA and a savings account. You won't even miss it. You won't miss it out of your paycheck because it comes right off the top. Consider it. I'm important. I'm valuable, and I'm going to save for my money. And then, especially like as moms, the kids come knocking on the door. Oh, I got to borrow some money. You know, why? Go make your own money. I'm sorry. I'm not your ATM.
Not anymore, right? They get to a certain age where it's like, no, we're done.
Yeah.
Okay, so for those who are listening, right, Lisa, because sometimes there is money coming in, but sometimes there isn't, right? So let's just say that there are, because a lot of people who listen to the show, honestly, are entrepreneurs and coaches and things like that, right? What is the strategy or the mentality that you try to give your client if they are struggling because they have no consistent months, because they don't have that income coming in steady, right? What what's your guidance for them with that?
Well, I have an unconventional money multiplier system where every time you get money from your business, because it doesn't matter when it comes in, as
Right.
self-employment, we always work on a calendar year. As long as you allocate it and accordingly, you're paying yourself first, you're putting aside money for taxes, you're always going to have money. So when you do have that month that is lower because it's seasonal or what have you still have that cushion, you have that profit, you have that income to fall back on. So it's really important to project, like every single month in the Wealth Accelerator, at the end of the month, we sit and say, okay, what are you going to project to earn for the following month? And you know, you should know the seasons of your business. I mean, hopefully you're tracking all these numbers and you're looking and saying, okay, man, I noticed I get a dip in the month of June. You know, what goes on in June? What can I do to bring in another stream of income? You know,
Yeah.
and creating offers that are you know, oh, I can't remember the name right now. Green. What's it called? My mind went completely
Oh,
blank.
Evergreen?
Evergreen, thank you.
Yeah.
Creating these offers that are evergreen or memberships are really popular, right? I see a lot of people, you know, but having something that's valuable, that's not going to create chaos for you.
Yeah.
But always thinking about that and letting your investments work for you, because I hear that a lot. I don't have any income coming in. Every month you have something coming in, whether it be from an investment, you know, if you have a monthly draw from an investment that you have coming in, you're converting a resource or an asset into cash. So you have something coming in because something is maintaining your budget for groceries, your gas and electric, and what's upkeeping that house. So when we think about income, I used to have to explain this all the time. That's why I'm laughing. When I worked at Social Security Administration, well, I don't have any income. Okay, well, how do you pay your monthly bills? Well, I get unemployment. Okay, that's a form of income. Okay, so there's unearned income, which is you don't have to do anything for it, right? Unemployment, so pension benefits, Social Security, disability payments, windfalls from a lot of people win the lotto, you guys, gambling winnings. That's all under income. Collecting bottles and cans, if you have that in your state, that's a form of income, right? And then we have income from wages or self-employment. So you actually perform a service to get that income. And then what are you doing with that money? And if it's self-employment, you want to make sure you're setting aside money for your taxes, but you want to make sure you're paying yourself first. I see so many entrepreneurs like, well, I'm going to start this business and I'm just going to take all the money and put it back into the business. No, stop. No, it's a hobby. Don't do that. Okay. Because one, your brain, it doesn't register. Like you're doing all this work and your brain's not wired to work. Your brain's wired to have fun. And so like it gets to become cumbersome. Like, oh, why am I doing this if I'm not even getting a reward? If you were the CEO of a company, you would not work as a CEO without getting a bonus, without working and getting a paycheck. So why would you do that to yourself and your business? So it's really important to have that balance and understand when you the language that you use about money. If you're
I was just
saying to
gonna say
yourself,
that.
"I have no income," then you don't, because you're saying it, you're calling it out, and you're just telling money like money's like, "Bye, you don't think you have any? Guess what? I'll really show you." So it's really important to be aware of what you're saying and how you're thinking about money, because you do have income. I'm sorry. I found 11 cents, one penny one day and then 10 cents the next day, and I picked that sucker up. No, it's funny because my husband was driving by where we were riding our bikes, and he's like, "Oh, there's a penny. Did you see it?" I'm like, "No, where?" And I'm like, "Turn around." I'm like, "I couldn't find it." I'm like, "Where's the penny?" He's like, "You really want to go through all that for a penny?" I go, "It matters." And I picked up the penny. I go, "It matters. It only just takes one penny to get you that much closer to becoming a millionaire." And so many people disregard change, you know?
Yes. I
And
say
it's
that all
sad.
the time. I'm like, guys, if you were going to be a millionaire and you had 99,900 or 99, whatever, and you just needed that one penny to get you to that million, you'd be pissed and you'd be going everywhere looking for that damn penny. So stop disregarding the one. Stop disregarding the one, right? I love that. I love what you're doing. I love how you show up. I mean, you show up, Lisa. I can feel the energy. Like, you really show up. You know your shit, right? And so I'm glad that you are showing up for these women the way you are, because, unfortunately, like I alluded to already, a lot of people in my age, especially the Generation X, Xers of us are out here are redefining ourselves. And as we're redefining ourselves, we're starting to learn new things. Like, I just got insured as a life insurance agent, right? And so I didn't know about that though, Lisa. I didn't know about it. Right. And so now I'm like educating myself with all of these different things and IRAs and IULs and annuities and life insurance and all this great stuff. And I'm like, this amazing financial world is out here and we really need to learn more. We really need to connect more. But I love what you said. Do you even know where to start? Do you even know where your money is right now? Do you even have that? And that's so important. And I want people to get to your program, get to know you, get to work with you, because I really feel like you are going to hold their feet to it and you're going to help them to move along. That's the kind of girl I feel like you are. You're like that kind of woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? That ain't working. Let's do this. What are you doing here? And I love that energy because that is real, right? Because you're going to show up for them when they can't show up for themselves right now. So I love that. So give me how people can contact you, work with you, all of that, because I'm sure that people are listening like, all right, Lisa, all right, I got you. So to give us that information.
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is through my website, idatemoney.com. Tune into my podcast, I Date Money,
I
and
love
definitely
it.
get a lot of tips and strategies, hear money stories, and just different ways to optimize the money that you currently have so it does multiply. And I gotta say, take that money archetype quiz, like find out who is driving your money decisions, because a lot of it has to do with our thoughts. You know, and the way our thoughts flow is the way income comes in. So income will flow based on how our thoughts are. And when you think about multiplying your money, like what are you thinking about in that reality? So like, the Wealth Accelerator is a program for six-figure coaches. It helps them optimize both their business and their personal expenses to increase their cash flow, to learn the financial literacy that they need in their business and their personal life so that they pay themselves first, so their money works for them. And if
Good.
there's debt, we always eliminate debt, because we want to get out of that idea of there's not enough money, because there is plenty of money. It's just what we're doing with it, you know, how we're managing it is really what makes the difference of how it's going to multiply. So like I always say, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's what you do with it.
How do they take the quiz? Is it on your site?
Yep, the money archetype quiz is on my site. So if you go to idatemoney.com, you'll see the link for the quiz. And simple, quick, and easy, you'll find out which of the seven money archetypes you are.
And what about those who are listening? Do you have a tool, or is there somewhere they can look to start at least looking at their money, like a budget sheet? I'm sorry, we don't like the word budget, but like a discovery sheet or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, I do. I have a unconventional my unconventional money multiplier system. I have a free gift for all of you where it actually maps out the percentages that you should put in. So if you're a business owner, it shows you your business expense, your business allocations, and then your personal allocations.
Oh, that's
And if
awesome.
you're not a business owner, if you're just a 9-to-5er, we just focus on the personal expenses and income.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lisa. This was such a good conversation. I really appreciate you coming on. This was great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Oh my God. So good. So good. Right, guys? I told you. Oh my God. She dropped so many gems. Like, you better pick them up. Pick them up, people, because those were really, really good. I love that. I love her energy. I love what she's about. And I love that she's like, to me, she just feels like a straight talker, right? Like somebody who's just going to really guide you because she wants to help you. And it's not going to be, you know, anything that you think is so challenging. I really believe that we just have some old, ugly money ideas and stories that we've told ourselves that stops us from doing what it is we are created to do. So I really highly encourage you to go onto her date site, her site. I date money. I'm going to make sure to link all of that below so that you guys can really connect with her and go ahead and take that quiz, because I feel like the more knowledge you have, you'll have power, but power is actually when it's applied. So make sure you guys do this. I love you so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added.